Okay, here we go. Okay, so I just wanted to a slight little update here, nuance to add that what the heck? Okay, that remember we did this thing, the Rambam Perek Aleph and the Perek Yudof in brachos, right? Because the Rambam repeats himself, we make a bracha before every mitzvah, okay? And then we noticed in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says you make a bracha before every mitzvah, right? So we explained that in Perek Yud Aleph, he's referring to the fact that the bracha is like an introduction to the mitzvah. And before you do a mitzvah, you should introduce it with the shevach. So it like is an enhancement of the mitzvah. Whereas in Perek Aleph, when he says you make a bracha before every mitzvah, there he's talking about because there's an iser to do a mitzvah without a bracha. Okay? Now, the only thing we did notice is that in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says before you do kol mitzvah u'mitzvah, any mitzvah, you make a bracha. Okay? In Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Rambam qualifies it. He says like this. He says, kol mitzvah saseh, shebein adam l'hakadosh baruch hu. Okay? Yimavarech kodem lasiasa. So that we found was an interesting thing. Why does the Rambam put those words in there? Any mitzvah between man and God. Oh, like that sounds right. We thought that was weird, but I was giving this idea over to a young man, and he, you know, we didn't really harp on that, but he was asking me, if the Rambam says you make a bracha before any mitzvah, he says, well, what about the mitzvah of kibud av em, or the mitzvah of I don't know, hachnas zorchem. Well, he didn't say hachnas zorchem, but let's say kibud av em. If you're mekayem mitzvah kibud av em, there's no bracha. If you do nicham avelim, there's no bracha. Hashavas aveda, there's no bracha. So he was hitting me with all these mitzvahs. And I say, yeah, it's a good question, because the Rambam does say, kol mitzvah, mitzvah, every mitzvah. So whatever, we left it sort of, you know, we'll think about it. But then I remembered, I looked in Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, kol mitzvah shebein adam l'makom, bein adam l'kadosh baruch hu. So it's an interesting thing. So it would appear from the Rambam that the only mitzvahs that you make a bracha on are mitzvahs bein adam l'kadosh baruch hu. But a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro, there's no bracha. And if you think about it, I mean, I didn't, you know, I'm telling you this because perhaps you could come up with a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro that you make a bracha, because it seems every mitzvah that you think of that you don't make a bracha, it's bein adam l'chaveiro. And every mitzvah that you do make a bracha seems it's bein adam l'makom. Lulav, tzitzis, tefillin.
Chalitza.
Do you make a bracha on chalitza? Okay, so you're very good. You're very good because somebody asked, or somebody said on Shabbos, somebody said, well, you do make a bracha on nesu'in, on kedushin. On kedushin. Now, what is kedushin? Is that bein adam l'chaveiro? What's that? Well, yeah, because you would say it's between a person, it's bein adam l'chaveiro. I mean, it's, right? Well, the thing is, so then the person asks, well, what about getting? That's a mitzvah, but there's no bracha for that. So we thought perhaps kedushin, there's a kedusha there. There is a kedusha, so maybe that's responsible for the bracha. You know, so like you're saying, it involves a kadosh bracha too. There's an element of kedusha with nesu'in. I don't know. No, with kedusha. Well, kedusha because it's your Mekadosh Easter, it's not just a kinyan. In other words, it's not just a kinyan, but it changes her status from to Eishes Ish. So maybe, I mean, we're not really equipped to go that far into it, but whatever. Interesting thing. So it seems that's the chiluk, that if it's Bein Adam the makom, that's it requires a bracha. Okay, so I thought that was an interesting little, afterwards. What do they say? Afterthought. Afterthought.
Addendum.
Addendum. Addendum. Okay, so that was that. okay. So, the thing is that I have some good wine here. Okay, so that was that. Now, the only other thing I wanted to follow up on is Levy's question about, right, that we said that why do you make a bracha before and after each aliyah? Because we said that you break the kriya, which is one entity, into many entities, right? So then Levy asked the question, well, if the halacha is that each entity requires 10 psukim, so really maybe each aliyah should require 10 psukim. Okay? Do we remember this question? Could I have just not mentioned anything
and
gotten away with it?
When he wasn't speaking, right?
When you're typing, oh, that's when you're
typing. Yeah.
So I think, that when we say we break the aliyahs into three separate, each entity, and we break all of the kriya into three separate entities, it means it's three separate maisim. In other words, the bracha goes on each maisa kriya, but not on the kiyam of the entity of Talmud Torah.
Oh, we didn't.
We did? We what?
We did say that.
Oh, okay. Okay, next. Good.
Each one's a maisa?
Each one's a separate maisa, even though in terms of the kiyam, it's all one key. It's one kiyam of Talmud Torah, of Tem Psukim, but it's accomplished through three separate maisim. So if you say the bracha goes on the kiyam of the Talmud Torah, so then it's all one kiyam. But if the bracha goes on the maisa kriya, so then each one's separate maisim. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so now we have a very interesting topic this week. Okay.
Some might say the best.
Okay. Like every other week, we have an interesting topic this week. Okay, and this week it's very interesting because it's what do they call it? It's Nogeh Lalacha. It's, I forget the expression, the Hebrew expression, but it is very practical. Okay.
Shayach.
Yeah, it's Shayach. And it is there's a lot of machlokas about it, and the way we do it in the yeshiva is according to one side, but there are many other sides, and the way other kehilas do it is according to a different way. But you'll see that it's based on this. It's really a self-contained gemara, and you go through the gemara and all the rishonim, you have like the whole area. Okay, so I don't know if we'll be able to define the whole area, but at least we'll get a solid, framework of what the mitzvah is. Okay, so what I'm referring to is the kriya of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so the kriya of Rosh Chodesh, if you listen in shul, you see it's mixed up. It's, they go back, right? It's not one straight kriya. Okay, so whenever you do the kriya, you have one of the aliyahs, the olam, have to go back and repeat what the previous ola said. So it just depends how you work it out. Okay, but this gemara goes into what the whole issue surrounds. What is the central issue? Okay, so the gemara is the next gemara in Megillah. It's in Chaf. It's Chaf Aleph Amud Beis on the bottom of the page. Okay? So the Gemara starts like this. It's four lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Ba Mine Ula. Okay, so let's start this way. Okay. Let me just, before we do it, I just want to clarify, okay? We're going to use the term Parsha. Okay? Now, Parsha really has two meanings. Parsha, in the colloquial sense, or in the sense that most people use it, they use it loosely, they mean a sedra. Okay, so the parsha of the week is the entire thing, kriya for the week. Okay, but parsha really means, I don't know if this is really means, but parsha also means, in a technical sense, it means from one it means from one, if you look in the Torah, from one paragraph to another. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Okay, so like in Pinchas, which is what we're going to be dealing with. Okay, so let's say okay, so it's like where the indentation is from one stuma or psucha to the other. Okay, so this would be one parsha. Okay, then you have like, I'm looking from here to here is one parsha. Okay, the next two psukim is another parsha. Okay, because it starts another beginning of the where it's indented. Okay, get the picture. Okay, right. That's what really we refer to as a parsha. This thing.
We should have a video recorder.
Video recorder. Yeah, we need video. Can this thing supply any video, or this is just archaic, audio. I can't deal with this.
In 30
but.
Years, they're going to be like, what the heck? Why
yeah, well, why can't we see what's going on there? Okay? So that's a parsha. Okay, so just to, like, give you a background here, on Rosh Chodesh, we read three parshas. Okay? The first parsha is the parsha about the Tamid. Okay? And that's eight psukim long. Okay? The second parsha is the Karbonos, the Musaf for Shabbos, which is two psukim. And the last parsha is Rosh Chodesh, and that's five psukim. Okay? So you have eight psukim, two psukim, and five psukim. So in sum total, you read for Rosh Chodesh 15 psukim. Okay? Okay. So 8, 2, and 5. That's 15 psukim. Okay, and you can't read more or less, and we'll see why the first one go into it. But basically, that is the limit of what you could read. Okay. Okay, so you have a total of 15 psukim, and how many aliyahs do you have for Rosh Chodesh? Four. Okay, now you know the minimum kriya that an ola could read is what? Is three psukim. Okay. Less than three psukim, it's not a kriya. It's simply nothing. Okay? So you must have at least three psukim. Okay? So therefore, if you have four aliyahs, and each one reads a minimum of three, so the minimum that you could, that four people could read is 12 psukim. Okay? Which really would be a good kriya, because we said the minimum halacha of Talmud Torah, right, of Limud, of Kriya Shel Limud, it has to be 10 psukim. So in totality, the minimum is 10, and for each korei, it's 3. Okay, so if you have 4 korim, you must have at least 12 psukim. Okay? Okay, so let's take a look. So the Gemara says, when you have Rosh Chodesh, right, when you have Rosh Chodesh, okay, so you have a total of 15 psukim, and you have four olam. Okay? So what's the difficulty? Take a look at the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Boi mine ula bar rav me rava. So ula asks rava. Okay? Parshas Rosh Chodesh ketzad. Okay? How do you read the parsha of Rosh Chodesh? Okay? So Gemara says, ketzad koreo. So how do you read it? So tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem es karbani lachmi. Okay, so that's the first parsha, which is the Tamid. Okay? All right? So the Gemara says, dehavyan tamani psuki. That first parsha of tzav is eight psukim. Okay, so how are you going to read it? So the Gemara says, hechi navid. How could you read it? Nikri trei tlasa psukim. So the first possibility is, you have two aliyahs, okay? So let's just go with the minimum. Each ola reads three psukim, okay? So therefore you have a total, the first two aliyahs, you can have six psukim, okay? No problem there, right? So the Gemara says, Pashaluhu trei. The only problem is, if the first two people read three psukim, and you have six psukim read, so how many does that leave for the parsha? There remains a leftover of two psukim. Okay? So the Gemara says like this: Ein misharim beparsha pachas mishlosha pesukim. So the halacha is you're not allowed to leave over two pesukim till the end of the parsha. Okay? Why? Okay? In other words, if you're reading a parsha and you want to stop somewhere, you cannot stop if you're only leaving two pesukim unread till the end of the parsha. You must leave at least three pesukim. Okay? So if you have eight pesukim in Parshas Tzav and you read six, so you're leaving over till the end of the parsha, you're leaving two pesukim. No good. So Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Why? So Gemara's going to say later on, but I can give you an advanced screening. The reason why you're not allowed to leave two pesukim is because there's a gezeira. Now, anytime you read, you're not allowed to create a misconception. Okay, even if the misconception is created because you have people that leave shul early, come late, it doesn't matter. So the problem is, if I stop at the end of six pesukim and anybody leaves shul after that aliyah, they're going to think that the next aliyah only reads two pesukim. Because they're going to say, there's only two pesukim left to the parsha. Why didn't the last aliyah finish the parsha? Must be he wanted to leave a few pesukim for the next aliyah. Right? So that means the next aliyah is only going to read two pesukim. So if a guy walks away from shul at that point, he's going to walk away thinking that two pesukim qualifies as a valid kriya. So we can't do that. Anytime you stop before the end of a parsha, you must leave at least three pesukim. Okay? So therefore, that would not be good. You couldn't have two korim read three pesukim each, and that would leave two pesukim at the end of the parsha. No good. Okay? Okay, so the Gemara says that's not going to work. So what's the other solution? So the other solution would be Nikri Arba Arba. So let each aliyah read four pesukim. So then you've solved the problem. Because then the second Ola will complete his aliyah at the end of the parasha. Perfect. So if anybody leaves the shul at that point, there's no misconception created. They don't know what the next guy's going to read. Okay? Okay. So the Gemara says, fine, perfect. Gemara says, if that's the case, if you finish the first parsha of Tzav after the second Aliyah, then what's going to be? So parsha lehu shiva. So how many pesukim will you have left? You're going to have seven pesukim left for the next two Aliyahs. You're going to have the two pesukim from Shabbos, and then you're going to have five pesukim from Rosh Chodesh. So seven pesukim. So let's see, you have two Aliyahs, seven pesukim, no problem. Right? Because each Aliyah only has to read three. You could have one guy read three and the other guy four. Or one guy read four and the other guy read three. No problem. Okay? Gemara says, Hechinavid. So how are you going to do it? Okay? So Nikri Trei Meha. So let the next Aliyah read two from Shabbos. Right? And then he'll read one from Rosh Chodesh. So he'll have three Pesukim in his Aliyah. He'll read one from Rosh Chodesh, two from Shabbos, and how many pesukim will be left for Rosh Chodesh for the next Aliyah? Four pesukim, right? Okay, because he only read one from Rosh Chodesh, and there's a total of five. Next guy can read four. Okay, Gemara says problem. Why? Can't do that, because just like you can't leave, you can't end your kriya and leave less than three pesukim till the end of a parsha, because the guy's going to make a mistake, you're also not allowed to start a parsha unless you read three pesukim. Why? Because if you read one pasuk from the beginning of the parsha, now the next aliyah is going to get up, and he's going to read starting from pasuk, from the second pasuk. So if a guy comes late and hears him start from the second pasuk, he's going to say, well, 1 second. He's not starting from the beginning of the parsha. It must be the aliyah before read, started from the beginning of the parasha, and he read one pasuk. Or he read two pasukim. If this guy starts from, let's say, pasuk number three, right? he'll say, the first guy, why didn't he start from the beginning of the parasha? Must be the guy before him read those psukim. So the guy before him read either one or two pasuks, and it must be that you could have a kriya of less than three. So again, if you're going to start a parasha, you must read at least three psukim in the parasha, so that the next ola could start from pasuk four, and it'll be clear that the previous guy read at least three psukim. Okay, because the assumption of a person that comes late, or a person that leaves early, is always that you read to the end of the parasha, or you begin, an aliyah begins from the beginning of a parasha. Okay? So therefore the Gemara says that will not work. But the guy who, the third aliyah, who's reading two from Shabbos, if he continues, if he starts the parasha of Rosh Chodesh, he's going to have to read three psukim from Rosh Chodesh. Right? And what would be wrong if he'd read three psukim from Rosh Chodesh? What's that?
He's going to leave over two at the end.
He's going to leave over two at the end, so he'll have a problem on that end. So it comes out, he's going to leave two at the end, and not only that, but the next aliyah actually will only have two psukim to read. So not only will a person who leaves early think that the next aliyah only has two psukim, he will be right. The next guy that gets up will only be able to read two. So he won't actually be able to read at all, because it's not a valid career. Okay, so not only will you make a person make a mistake, but the next ola really will be incapable of reading. So that's another impossibility. Okay, so it would seem it's impossible. There's just no way, by reading straight, that a person can accomplish these 15 psukim with four of these. It's impossible. I mean, unless you can figure out some way of each guy reading at least three and not messing up with leaving over or starting, Gemara seems like logically there's no way for four people to read these 15 psukim. Okay? By reading straight. Okay? So that's where this comes into the picture, that one ola has to repeat something from what another ola read. He has to go back and be able to duplicate a pasuk. Otherwise, reading straight, can't do it. Okay? Okay. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says, that if the third guy reads three psukim from Rosh Chodesh, he leaves two, he's going to be over the Yisur of leaving two. Okay?
And the guy's not going to think that they're copying. They're saying
there's
a
pasuk
that's written twice in
the
Zohar, or
that
there's some sort of other mistake.
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Yeah,
what's that? That's a very good question. And that bothered, he asked, well, let me ask you this. If you have a guy repeat what a previous guy read, so why wouldn't a person think, who's just sitting there, let's say a person's sitting there, he's going to think the pasuk is written twice in the Torah? Very good question. In other words, we're so worried about a guy that's going to leave early, or a guy that's going to come late, but what about a guy who sits there the whole time, and he hears the same psukim being read over and over again? He's going to say, it must be the Sefer Torah that this pasuk occurs twice in the Torah. Because he's listening to the Kriya, and he hears it read twice. That's a very good point. See, nobody actually addresses that point, but it seems that, well, you'll see later, the Gemara is forced to introduce the idea of dilug, of going back and repeating a pasuk. But it seems that that's a problematic thing. Nobody wants to do that, to be medaleg, unless you have to. Right? And I really couldn't figure out, like, you know, you could make all kinds of svaras, well, what's wrong with it? Right? But I couldn't really see a valid reason why that's such a problem. But according to what you're saying, it's very good. I mean, nobody says it. I didn't see any Rishonim where they say it, but that is a very good point. That when a person repeats, somebody would think that it's written again in the Torah. Okay.
You think that's a worse problem than the other problems also.
What's that? You see that you think that's worse.
Yeah, you should leave over two or leave over one.
You're guaranteed that people like will actually hear that. Like,
definitely.
Here you need a person to get up at the right exact moment and leave and come in.
Okay. But here you're guaranteed that if a guy is a conscientious guy and stays in shul, he definitely can walk away with that misconception. It's a good question. Very good question. I don't know why nobody brings that up. It's like sort of, but it's a very good point. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's see if that turns out to be an essential idea. Okay, but anyways, that's where the Gemara stands at this point, right? So at this point, the Gemara is at a total impasse. How can we accomplish the Kriya? Okay. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Lo. So Rava said back to him, Lo Shamati. I never heard. I don't know how you could accomplish it. I never heard of a way to read it. Never heard the halacha how you read the Aliyahs for Rosh Chodesh. But he says, Kiyotzi bo shamati. But I did hear something that's similar. A similar difficulty and how it is solved. Okay? And what's the difficulty? Ditnan. Because we learned in a Mishnah. B'yom harishon, bracious vihi rakia. Okay, so the halacha is that in the mikdash, the karbanos, they brought a carbon tamid every day. Okay, and the tamid was really a carbon for the tzibor. It was really a carbon on the behalf of the tzibor. Okay, but the halacha is that any time you have a carbon for a person or a group, the person has to be there. In other words, if I bring a carbon, and this carbon is on behalf of me, I'm the one that donated the carbon. Okay, so I have to be there. Otherwise, it's not my carbon. Okay, so the question is, if it's a carbon for the tzibor, where's the tzibor? Okay, so the halacha is that they have 24 maimados. Okay, so what they did, what's that? For the carbon tamid. See, what they did was they split up Klal Yisrael into 24 groups, and they appointed a select number of people that would represent each one of those groups. So in other words, the year is split up into 24 sections, okay? And every week, Klal Yisrael is represented by a different group of these 24 maimados, okay? So now what happens is that group of people that represent Klal Yisrael, some of them are in Yerushalayim, and some of them could be outside of Yerushalayim, somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. But they represent, they're the ones that represent Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the halacha is that they have a special tefillah. Those the people that are in that group, when they daven that week, so they fast. They have to fast Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They don't fast on Sunday, and they don't fast on Friday. But they fast those 4 days of the week. Okay, well, why they fast, I'm not sure. But it has something to do with the fact that they're the representatives of the tzibor, and the carbon is being brought on their behalf. Okay, so but not only do they fast, but the Kriya Satara, they korei not just on Monday and Thursday, but they korei the Torah every day. And what is the Kriya that they read? So they read the Kriya from Bracious to Vayechu. Okay. So the Bracious Vayechu to Vayechu is split up two parshas every day, okay, from Sunday to Friday. Okay. So the first split is Bracious and Vayehi Rakia. They have to read those two parshas. And you have three olam that have to read those two parshas. Okay, now what are those two parshas? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Bracious and Vayehi Rakia. Okay, V'tani Allah Bracious Bishnayim. And the halacha is Bracious, Parshas Bracious, which is five psukim, is read by two olam. Okay, so you can see you have a similar problem. So you have two olam that have to read five psukim. Okay, so how do they do it? So the halacha is like this. The halacha is Vavenan ba Bishlama Yehirakia be'echad. Okay, so Yehirakia is read by one ola because that's three psukim. But Bracious is read by two olam. two aliyahs, and it's five psukim. Okay, so how do you read it? So the Gemara says, "V'tanya hakari b'Torah lo yifchas me shlosha psukim." Okay, a person that reads the Torah has to read at least three psukim. The idmar Allah rav amar doleg u'shmul amar posek. Okay, so halacha is that there are two possible solutions here. According to Rav, you're doleg. Okay, which means the first ola reads the first three psukim. The second ola repeats pasuk three, and then reads 3, 4, and 5. Okay, so pasuk three is read twice. First ola reads 1, 2, and 3. Second ola reads 3, 4, and 5. That's according to Rav. Okay, Shmuel maintains no. You cannot repeat. So what is his solution? His solution is you split the third pasuk in half. So you have the first ola read pasuk 1, 2, and half of 3. Then his aliyah is over. Next ola comes. He starts from the middle of 3 and reads the second half of 3, number 4, and number 5.
Is there a halacha against that?
So there's a halacha against that. You cannot split a pasuk in half. What's that?
There's one against the Dilagway also.
And there's a problem with the Dilagway also.
And you haven't read 3.
What's that?
You haven't read 3.
You what?
You haven't read 3.
Where? In which case?
No, not
2 and a half.
Okay.
I mean the other way also, but
they're
the guy left over 2.
One, so it's really 3.
The guy who says Dilag, he has a problem too, right? Because he's...
He left over 2 at the end.
He left over 2, and then next guy that starts is starting within 2 of the beginning.
That's true. They both have
so
problems.
Both have
that's
a problem,
true.
Right. But according to Shmuel, you have a problem that you're splitting a pasuk in half, which you're not allowed to do. Okay, good.
What's the first problem? What's the problem with people who are Dilag?
What's the problem with Dilag?
First Korah is going to do 1, 2, 3, so he left over 4 and 5. So he can't leave over 2.
Oh, that's the end of the parsha.
Right.
The
and the second guy's reading 3, 4, and 5, so he's leaving over 2 at the beginning. That's
so he's both guys, either way, you're over the
you
there.
Read the whole part
either way,
twice.
Both. Yeah, that's what you're going to do. If you're cool with Dilag, why not? Yeah.
Why don't you read over the whole parsha twice?
Yeah.
That's true. It's just, yeah, it's very hard to understand. Okay. It's a good question. Why don't you read the whole parsha twice? Nobody suggests it. That I saw so far, and it would seem that solves the whole problem. Right? But nobody suggests it. The suggestion is not made, and that's it. Why? I don't know. Maybe we can figure it out. Okay. What's that?
They knew where it was coming from before.
What? What's that?
They knew where it was
right. Okay.
You can play it over and over. It's on recording.
Over and over again, like
so
max time.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I mean, I maybe we could think about it, but the Gemara doesn't really go into that. Why? I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Because really, then you'd solve both problems. You wouldn't have to split a pasuk in half, and you wouldn't have to worry about being within 3 of either. Okay. But anyways, they don't mention that, okay? What about your question? If you read 2 and a half, what have you really solved? Because what about the problem you didn't read 3 psukim? What about that?
Rounding up.
Rounding up.
Rubakula.
I don't know.
No,
what do you say, Abby?
That you make half one, like that half is really, you're just saying it's a pasuk.
You're making it into a pasuk, yeah. I mean, it seems that even though it isn't a pasuk, it seems if you curry it as a pasuk, that's the requirement. And as 3 psukim is like 3 functional psukim, right?
You
if you read
one.
It at, what's that?
Just split up 1 into 3 then?
What's that?
You just split up 1 pasuk into
you're splitting 1 pasuk into 2. So one guy reads 2 and... You, what?
He wants to take the idea even farther.
Even farther. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. You mean just...
a word as a pasuk.
I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. But anyway, somehow or other... It's a good point, but somehow or other, The 2.5 qualifies as 3. Okay, why? I mean, that's a good question. Okay? But anyways, that's the two possible solutions. All right? Okay. How are we doing?
Good.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Gemara says, Rav Amar Doleg, my time alone, Amar Posek. So why does Rav say you don't split it? Why does he say go back? So the Gemara says, Kesavar kol psuka de lo paske Moshe, anan lo paskina. Okay, so the halacha is that any pasuk that Moshe did not split, we can't split. In other words, when we have to stay with the way Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. Okay, we cannot take a pasuk and split it in half because that would not reflect the way Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. Okay, if he received the Torah as a complete pasuk, we can't make any kind of alteration. Okay, so therefore, that's it. You cannot split a pasuk in half. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Ushmuel amar paskinan." Shmuel says, "We do split it." Okay. The Gemara says, "Veha amar Rabbi Chananya kara." Rabbi Chananya, who was a Rebbe, tsar gadol hayali etzel Rabbi Chanina. So I was very troubled by at Rabbi Chanina Hagadol. V'lo hiter li lifsok ela litinokos shobeis rabban. Okay, so apparently, in teaching the psukim, it's very useful to be able to be korei the pasuk, half a pasuk to teach talmidim, to teach young children. You have to read. You can't sometimes read the whole pasuk. So it seems even in teaching. In other words, even if I'm learning, it would seem to say half a pasuk and stop would seem to be a problem. It's not so simple just to read half a pasuk. But if a person's reading the psukim, he should say a full pasuk. Okay? So the Gemara says that he was matir it because otherwise it was impossible to teach. So he was matir it for him to teach the Talmidim to be korei half a pasuk. Okay? So, but normally you're not allowed to do that. Okay? So the Gemara says, so how did Shmuel do it? Okay, so the Gemara said, he says, Hasam time am I. Why were they mater over there to split a pasuk? Mishum de lo efshar. Because you have to, it's impossible. So Gemara says, Hachanami lo efshar. Over here also, it's impossible to accomplish the kriya without splitting the pasuk, so therefore you could do it. Okay, so that's Shmuel's reason. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. My time alo amar doleg. But one second. But Shmuel's saying, I had no choice. I have to split up the pasuk. But why couldn't Shmuel just use doleg? He didn't have to split the pasuk. He could have used the method of Rav and gone back and repeated a pasuk. Okay. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, Gzeira mishum ha-nichnasin u-mishum ha-yotzer. So he couldn't do it because of the gzeira, because there was a gzeira not to do that, so he couldn't do it. So the only choice he had left was to split a pasuk.
That's the 2-2?
That's the 2-2. That's right. So if you'd use doleg, then a person would be under a misconception. So you couldn't do it. There was a gzeira not to do it, so instead he split the pasuk in half. So it's interesting. I mean, you can ask the same question, your line of questioning. Because what's the gezeira not to leave over psukim because you'll confuse people, but won't this confuse people? You're reading, right? You're reading half a pasuk, that's right. You're splitting a pasuk, so you're going to create the false impression that the pasuk ends here.
That's actually creating a false impression. Because you're actually saying the pasuk does end here.
That's right.
That is what you're doing.
That's right. So what would he answer? So he would say, it's true, you're creating a false impression. But but there's no gzera. Right? Now, if you have a specific gzera that you cannot leave to psukim, so that's it. This is not a gzera. This is actually maker a din. You're not allowed to split up a pasuk. But that din, if it's impossible, if you have no choice, you're allowed to forgo the din. Okay, but if there would be a gezeira like that, apparently, then you wouldn't be able to do it. Okay. What's that? That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, the first thing, it would be nice if we could understand why, where it's efshar, I'm allowed to split a pasuk. I mean, either, right, like you're asking, I mean, a gezeira, you can't be over. You can't say, well, it's efshar, let's be over the gezeira. That you can't do, apparently, right? But the ikar adin, that you're not allowed to split up a pasuk, apparently that, if it's efshar, you could. Okay, so what would you say on the surface? Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, go ahead.
I guess for the din one, I'm not sure why you won't be able to say it's by gzera, but for a din, you can say he's an honest. Like, we can't do anything else, okay? Like, there's a din, but what are we supposed to do?
Okay, so that's what I want to ask. Now that I'm thinking about it, why would you say, if there's a halacha, I'm not allowed to split up a pasuk, so why would you say if it's efshar, I could split it up? I mean, if I'm not allowed to do it, so I'm not allowed to do it. What do you mean, efshar? I mean, it's an isser to split the pasuk up. So that's it. So you want to teach kids, so you have to teach it to comply with the halacha. The halacha is, if you're kohen, you have to read it the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to us. You can't read it in a fragmentary way. You're not allowed to do that. So you want to teach, so you have to comply with this. Why is it that if it's a difficulty and it's impossible to teach, then I can forgo that halacha and I can fragment a pasuk even though it wasn't given to us that way?
This isn't going to be very satisfying, but you could you say that, like, the purpose of not splitting up a pasuk is like for Talmud Torah or something, so you don't want a distorted idea of Talmud Torah, right?
You gotta say that way.
So if you can't, like, if not being able to split a pasuk is gonna be the reason you can't even teach the Torah, like, it's self defeating. Like, the whole purpose of not splitting a pasuk is to be able to convey ideas.
To convey accurately. The ideas accurately the way they were given to us. So now if by splitting it up I can convey it in a better way, so then I'm permitted to do it. What do you think about that? Does that make sense?
It's kind of a wish-washy to say it in a better way. Like, that's not clear what that means, but I guess, like, if they decide that they can't.
Because if the purpose in splitting it up is to accomplish Talmud Torah, right? So then I would be allowed to do it. And that was the whole idea of keeping it intact is a question of Talmud Torah. So then if I'll defeat Talmud Torah by keeping it intact, then I'm permitted to break it up. Okay, this is a possibility. Right? That's a possibility. So therefore they said that you could split it up because it's not just a gzeres akasav that you can't break it up. It's because breaking it up would be a distortion in Talmud Torah. Right? If that's the case, if breaking it up is also because it's a distortion of Talmud Torah, so then if in order to teach it properly I have to break it up, then that would be mutter. That wouldn't be considered a distortion. Okay? Okay, that's a possibility. Alright? So let's say, right? So therefore he said that in that case you could split it up. Now how would that be over here? over here, I need to split it up in order to do Kriya Sitara. Okay. Well, let's. I don't know if we have to go into it right now. Okay, but let's. Okay, but that's basically the machlokas. Okay. The question is, do you repeat or do you split up? Okay? And the one that says to split up, he says that way because he says that repeating is osur, and there's no way to get around that. Okay? Okay. So let's see. Okay? So he says, I guess. Okay, well, the thing is like this. The next thing is, maybe if you want to take a look at the next thing, because in the next thing, he goes into a little more into the Gzeira, and there's a nice idea here. There's a nice idea in the next thing, but take a look, because it'll probably take us, a little longer than we have to go through it. But if you take a look at it, we could start with that next time. There's a very nice idea there, that of shchiach and lo shchiach. When you make a gzera and when you don't make a gzera. Okay? So if you want to look in advance, look at it, then we'll go through it, okay? I mean, I know it's a little bit, there's a lot of facts, so it's a little tedious. We had to work through the thing. But I think we're coming to a nice area now, okay? Okay, so let's stop here.